RNZ Pacific News, kia ora koutou, ko Susana Leata with TNA. Police in Solomon Islands are again overrun as rioters and looters continue to tear through the capital Honiara. The curfew is scheduled to end at 7 a.m. local time about now, but there is no word yet if it will remain in place. One of our correspondents in Honiara, Elizabeth Osifelo, says police were overwhelmed as more people swarmed into town in defiance of a 36-hour lockdown. Shops in Chinatown have been ransacked and burned, and on the eastern side of town, a branch of Bank South Pacific was torched, as was a locally owned and operated hardware store. Elizabeth Osifelo says police are doing everything they can to try and get control of the situation, but they are outnumbered.
It was all looting and just chaos. So there were a whole lot of people in the Chinatown area, but there were still other locations around the eastern part of Honiara that has been really badly affected. A lot of businesses and a lot of buildings have been burned.
In a public address last night through the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, Mr. Songavare, the Prime Minister, has said he had been asked to step down by the protesters. He said this is something he will not do.
If I have to step down, what message would that send to our people, children and generations to come? Some of us are of the opinion that if I step down, the protests and riots will stop. This is the easiest decision to make. However, the effect of this decision is what weighs heavy in my heart.
Australia is deploying Defence Force personnel and federal police to support local authorities in Honiara. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison says the deployment is in response to a request from Solomon's Prime Minister Manase Songavare as part of a security treaty signed with Australia in 2017.
We've agreed to send a detachment of up to 23 AFP personnel who are deploying immediately, in fact, even as we speak, to support riot control, and up to 50 further AFP will deploy to support security at critical infrastructure.
In other news, Fijian schoolchildren will resume classes on January 4th, 9 months after being sent home because of the COVID-19 outbreak. Fiji's Education Minister Premila Kumar says Year 12 and 13 students are already back in school to prepare for their exams from February 1st to the 17th next year. While it's not mandatory, Ms. Kumar is urging parents to ensure their children are vaccinated against COVID-19.
We have seen the results ever since Fiji started with its vaccination program. We've seen decrease in the number of COVID cases.
Fiji's health ministry says just over 25,000 children aged 15 to 17 are fully vaccinated, while 12,000 aged 12 to 14 have received their first dose of the COVID vaccine. Children are making up more and more of New Zealand's total COVID cases. The country's medicine authority, MedSafe, is carrying out vaccine data assessment for young people now that US authorities have approved the Pfizer vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. A paediatrician, Dr. Jin Russell, says the vast majority of children with COVID do not get sick, but she warns proportionally more children are catching the virus in New Zealand because they can't yet be vaccinated.
There's a larger proportion of children who are being infected. And this is a particular concern for our vulnerable communities, and in particular for our Māori community. A two-week delay translates to several hundred children who may be infected.
There are nearly 500,000 5 to 11-year-olds in New Zealand. One of the directors of the Phoenix Island Protected Area Trust says the marine sanctuary is a conservation treasure for the world. The Kiribati government has announced it's planning to end the protected status to allow commercial fishing within the World Heritage Site's boundaries. It says this will generate tens of millions of dollars in additional revenue. But Trust Director Peter Shelley says there is nowhere else like the Phoenix Island Protected Area, or PIPA. He says in the 6 years it has been closed to fishing, PIPA has provided scientists with a vast amount of knowledge about the ocean, corals and fish spawning.
I think the opportunity to have a site of this scale that is able to be studied and understood really doesn't have an equal really anywhere on the planet.
The Indonesian government has banned all civil servants and workers in state-owned and private companies from taking leave over Christmas and New Year in an attempt to curb COVID transmission. Past holidays have led to surges in the number of coronavirus infections as people travelled around the country. There are almost 30 million Christians in Muslim-majority Indonesia. The Australian Medical Association is urging people in New South Wales to keep wearing masks over the Christmas period. The state government has said mask wearing rules will likely be scrapped next month. Here's the ABC's Harriet Tatum.
When the state reaches 95% double vaccinated, masks will only be required on public transport, at airports, and for unvaccinated front-of-house hospitality staff. They'll no longer be mandated at shops or restaurants. The New South Wales AMA president, Dr. Danielle McMullen, says she's disappointed in the decision as masks could help prevent a rise in COVID case numbers. She's urging people to keep them on.
Be a good citizen and wear a mask to protect those around you.
92% of the eligible New South Wales population are fully vaccinated.
To sports news, former All Blacks first five Lima Sopoanga could be donning a Manu Samoa jersey at the next Rugby World Cup. World Rugby has voted to allow players to switch national teams from January 1st. And a player must either be born in the country they want to change to or have a parent or grandparent born in that nation. Lima Sopoanga missed an opportunity to switch his international allegiance to Samoa in their Olympic qualifying event earlier this year and joined the Cook Islands coaching staff for their World Cup qualifier against Tonga in July. The 30-year-old, who has grandparents born in both Samoa and the Cook Islands, says he'd put his hands up for both nations.
It's not an easy one for me, but I know for sure that I will be putting my hand up for one of the island nations, 100%.
Lima Sopoanga, who is gearing up for his first season with French club Lyon, confirmed La Kapi Samoa coach Seilala Mapusua had already been in touch. He says the rule changes will be massive for Samoa and Tonga. An unbeaten fifth wicket partner of 113 between Shreyas Iyer and Ravindra Jadeja has put India on top after the first day of the opening test against New Zealand in Kanpur. After winning the toss, India battled through the first two sessions against some testing bowling from pacemen Kyle Jamieson and Tim Southee. The three-pronged spin attack of Ajaz Patel, Will Somerville and Rachin Ravindra bowled well, but without success. Playing in his first test in Asia, Jamieson finished the day with 3 for 47.
Test cricket in India is a toil and is hard graft for long periods. It's certainly not going to happen as quick as what it does at home. But I think we were pretty good, for large parts of that day. India may be slightly ahead, but if we start well tomorrow morning, we can certainly put some pressure on them, and we can be pretty pleased with how the day panned out.
Meanwhile, Sri Lanka beat West Indies by 187 runs in the first test in Galle. Next year's New Zealand Golf Open looks on shaky ground due to the upcoming changes to the international border and MIQ. The tournament had been moved until late March in the hope of attracting some top overseas talent, but that's now unlikely to happen, with foreign nationals not able to get into New Zealand until after April 30th. Tournament director Michael Gladding says an event featuring only New Zealand golfers or even cancellation now appear to be their only options. One of the world's biggest football clubs, Manchester United, has reportedly reached an agreement with an experienced German manager to take temporary charge until the end of the season. Our correspondent, Benji Heyer, has more.
Ralf Rangnick is currently head of sports and development at Lokomotiv, but once terms have been agreed with the Russian side, he could be on his way to Manchester. Until his work permit is approved, caretaker Michael Carrick, formerly Solskjaer's assistant, will remain in charge, including for this Sunday's game against Chelsea. Rangnick, who's seen as the godfather of modern coaching in Germany, has a solid record as manager, winning the German Cup with Schalke in 2011 and taking RB Leipzig to the final in 2019. Discussions are ongoing over a deal that would see the 63-year-old German stay at Man U for 2 years beyond the end of the season in a consultancy role.
That's the news and sport from RNZ Pacific, and you can hear and read more of our stories online at rnzi.com.